Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let's get to the news, and a lot of it in Philadelphia. My goodness, as many as 8 young people shot in the city of Philadelphia last night, yesterday into last night, and the wee hours of this morning, including a 15-year-old boy who is in critical condition in the hospital this morning after being shot in the city's Frankfurt section, neighborhood there. Teen shot 7:30-ish on the sidewalk, Penn and Bridge streets, and was just feet from the Frankfurt playground. So police saying that at least 20 people, among them teens, kids playing at the playground there, playing basketball when gunfire erupted. And so this entire thing was actually captured on camera because of a nearby SEPTA depot. And they're also seeing if any nearby buses got, you know, they're looking for all the surveillance images. But in this one, we know that no arrests, no suspects. And in fact, there are no arrests in any of these 8 different shootings that happened in the city of Philadelphia. In another one, a man was killed after a shooting in West Philadelphia. This one happened later, about 9 o'clock in the evening, according to police, 5900 block of Ludlow Street. This guy was taken, rushed to the hospital by officers. One of those situations where they come upon the man, somebody called 911, and they realize there's not even time to get the ambulance there. So officers trying to save this man's life. Unfortunately, they could not save him.
Well, it's, you know, it's light out later, and then you factor in the temperature. Do you think there's any correlation to increased gun violence the hotter it gets? Because it was hot yesterday. I mean, I had the air conditioning on, taking the girls to dance.
Yeah.
I was miserable myself.
I always feel that way, that, you know, the odds, because you had, like you said, it's warmer, it's the days are getting longer, people are out later. So, I always feel that when the weather's hotter, it gets more violent in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't had 8 shootings in a single day in a while, correct?
I know, it's sad.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I want to just update you on the trial of Maurice Hill. Remember, he's the 41-year-old that we've talked a lot about on trial after the shooting in Philadelphia. Speaking of shootings in the summer, it was a hot August 6 years ago in Philadelphia, when Maurice Hill is accused of opening fire on half a dozen officers who were injured. So he took the stand in his own defense yesterday, wearing a pink suit, I might add, and set claims that he thought these were intruders, armed intruders that broke into his home. It wasn't until, he says, he started watching TV news and realized, oh, that's my house that those choppers are above. And then says Commissioner Rich Ross called him and said he needed to turn himself in, as well as Larry. Just first name Larry.
It wasn't Larry Bear.
Wasn't my Larry Bear.
Right,
wasn't,
right. You know, just another random Larry.
The Krasner. And so they talked him out and they turned himself in. But his entire case, this is the Maurice Hill trial, taking the stand in his own defense, claiming that this was just a big misunderstanding.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the details are in the case, and I haven't, you know, obviously seen any of this, but how long was he under the impression that this was an intrusion before these authorities said, no, this is the good guys, this is blah, 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 or how long did he have this standoff before he realized that's my house on television? Because if it goes well beyond that, then that's no defense. That's no excuse.
And how many hours do you think would be your limit? Because this went on for over 8 hours.
Yeah, right? Yeah, this sounds like this is the best. This is grasping at straws.
Yeah, so
he's toast.
So there it is. We have a real tragedy at the University of Delaware. A student was killed, 7 others injured, when this speeding U-Haul van crashed while trying to get away from police. And it happened broad daylight, 4:30 in the afternoon. This is Main and Haines Street in Newark. So police say that the U-Haul was discovered. They were looking for this U-Haul because it was a month. It was a rented truck, obviously. It was a month overdue. So they had put the word out for this thing that it was well overdue. The police say they did not chase after the van when it took off, but it was supposed to return its to a rental facility by March 18th. So the officers went to investigate. A driver and passengers took off, jumped a curb, and that's when they struck a marked police vehicle, ultimately there mowed over, just drove over, according to police, two pedestrians, including this one student who was killed.
Oh, my God.
It's a horrible situation.
Yeah, I know. I was terrified driving a U-Haul from Tennessee back to Philadelphia, keeping that thing at 55 miles an hour. These maniacs are mowing down citizens.
Jeez. So they released a statement calling it a terrible tragedy for the entire UD community. Condolences to the families and classmates. They will have some grief counselors on campus today as they release a statement that they continue to cope with the traumatic incident. They say, we encourage you to support one another. Reach out for additional help from the UD resources listed as they gave those out, and they'll provide grief counselors. Horrible situation.
Yeah. I mean, if I saw a rogue U-Haul truck going nuts, the first thing I'm thinking is a terrorist act, right?
Oh, that's, yes.
I mean, with all the madness we've seen across the globe with these, you know, weaponized vehicles to mow down large gatherings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well put. We also have Prince Edward is to visit Philadelphia today. Did you notice this, or did you know this? He will be visiting Philadelphia today to dedicate a historic bell and honor students. So he's a working royal, and he's promoting.
I knew that would be the response.
We are here to ring.
God.
But this is the Duke of Edinburgh.
We're not. Stop with the royals.
Prince Edward.
I know. Am I the only man in America? Forget, not like, Stalker, I get your disdain for them.
Yes.
I have no interest in them. Prince Edward walked in here right now and stole my cell phone right in front of my face, I wouldn't know Prince Edward from a KYW intern.
He probably would, because they're all inbred.
Stop. Well, he is the youngest child of Queen Elizabeth II. And apparently...
We fought a war for this, by the way.
And apparently this is in anticipation of the, you know, because here's the background of it and why he's here. He's kicking off the visit at the Benjamin Rush Garden, celebrating the bicentennial bell, which was gifted to the USA from the Queen. And this is during her July 1976 visit, marking the then American bicentennial.
All right, Dawn, you know, you can attest to the fact that I never, ever, ever censor or tell you what and what not to cover in your news. I'll send you suggestions.
But here it comes.
But I'll never say, don't cover this, don't cover that. Never, ever, ever cover the Royals again in your news. You can do it in your show, that's fine, but on this morning show, no.
Or the bell will toll for me. Enough for thee.
The Royals.
The Royals.
Oh,
the Royals.
God.
Prince Edward. So, we have that going on. Phils, how about our Phils?
Yeah, boy.
We won 7-6. We won
but they
against the Nationals.
Lost.
Well, it was a sloppy win,
They were down in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
They were down in the ninth inning. Mm. And then a wild pitch is what won them the game. Against the Nationals,
yep.
Who stink.
Right. Reports are outfield troubles again, I heard, through the grapevine.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might as well just put Dawn, Greg, and myself out in the outfield at this point.
I know. All I'm hearing, what I heard this morning driving in, was a win's a win.
Well, it is. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay. The game of baseball.
Right now, like I say, 68 degrees going up to 80, and we don't see a significant rain in the forecast until, well, Friday we'll see perhaps some lightning and showers rolling through, still warm, but the most significant rain, unfortunately, looks like Saturday, so we'll break that down.
I know what is this weird pattern that I don't like, and if you guys notice, like with weather, patterns are there for a reason and they happen. So it's like it's nice all week, and then the weekends it's kind of
washout,
crappy, and then by like Sunday late afternoon
gorgeous
it gets
again.
Nice.
Yep.
It's cruel.
It's very cruel, Dawn Samson. It's very cruel.
I'll be at a King of Prussia dance competition Saturday, so let it pour. I couldn't care less. I'll be stuck inside with Raging Moms.
Oh my goodness. Raging Moms. The name of your high school cover band. We are speaking of Raging Moms. Maybe they need a little Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, our sponsor. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, really the secret to spoiling the moms in your life this spring, now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, the Lowe's Hotel. Just visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are always available. josephanthony.com, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Don't forget, we are now within a week, 6 days, until Politics and Pints.
Wow.
It's coming up next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, May 6th, 7:30 p.m., Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. You get your tickets, just like all of us posted videos yesterday on social media, 1210WPHT.com. They are also up for grabs with our morning mystery movie clip this morning.
By the way, just announced late last night, so you're hearing it first here at 6:16 a.m., that we have there will be a before Politics and Pints happy hour. And we are going to have it at the Great American Pub in Phoenixville.
Oh, I've been to that place.
Rich Zeoli will be broadcasting live from 3 to 7. But stop by before Politics and Pints, and we'll all be there. By the way, you all have to be there.
Running up a tab.
We'll all be there. And, you know, you can come and hang out and have a few drinks with the 1210 crew before Politics and Pints. So the Great American Pub in Phoenixville before Politics and Pints starts. So make sure you get over there. It's a great location. I love the Great American Pub.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite
places.
So much fun. One of my old stomping grounds. I'm excited for this, so make sure you stop by the Great American Pub before Politics and Pints.
And the event officially kicks off at 7:30, so if Zioli's there at 3 for a broadcast, and I get there at 3, good chance I'll be in bag by 7:30.
No.
I get off tomorrow, the next day?
I am giving you a pitch count, meaning I am going to take a tally.
Uh-oh.
You and Zioli, actually. I'm going to take a tally of how many drinks you two have, and if we get above 3?
Yeah.
Before the event, I'm flagging both of you.
If you want to get a monstrous event, you get an event centered around Zioli and I whacking bourbons.
Yeah.
We'll break records.
So show up to the Great American Pub beforehand. It'll be like tailgating before Politics and Pints.
Fun.
I like it.
Tailgating before Politics and Pints. Great American Pub. Show up there. Zioli will be broadcasting 3 to 7. You can show up anytime you want to.
Yep.
It'll be well lubricated.
Yes. And, you know, tip a few back with some like-minded folk.
There you go.
Nice.
All right. Coming up next, Trump's first 100 days in the books. It is officially day 101. I know we're going to talk a lot about this at Politics and Pints on Tuesday, but a big take on that is next here on Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Trump was in Michigan last night, rally for the first 100 days in the books, and that is the theme of a midweek big take.
The big take on Kale & Company.
All right, the century mark for Trump 2.0, 100 days goes by in the blink of an eye. And as the Trump administration, they've been moving at warp speed in their first 3-plus months, and it's time to evaluate their performance with the annual tradition. You can call him the Sharpie, stud, call him whatever you'd like. The commander-in-chief has signed a blistering amount of executive orders. To be exact, 137 total in the first 100 days, which includes 26 on the first day and 45 the first week. And this actually matches the record held by FDR. And these would include executive orders in education as well as protecting women's sports. But this time around, things are different. In 2017, Trump inherited far less of a mess than he did in 2025. But 47 has had far more wins than losses, I believe, so far in year 5 of being in the Oval Office. From the border to the dizzying amount of executive orders to Doge and MAHA, many promises have been made, and so far, many have been kept. And we are seeing the fruits of the labor on many fronts, while others, they'll take longer periods of time. But the wheels are in motion with every single thing he promised. If the first 100 days was about setting the table, well, then the next 100 to 120 throughout the end of the summer should be about putting out the entree at the dining room table and allowing the feast to commence. Here is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent laying out the last 3 months and what the next 3 months will look like. Listen and watch.
Larry, it's just the momentum. Is President Trump, the amount of momentum, the transparency, the energy that he has brought back to Washington. As you said earlier, the common sense, look at the success on securing the border. Everyone said, oh, this can't be done. And you know, some of the targets that the Biden administration had were in the tens of thousands. And I think a few weeks ago, nine people came across the border, most of whom we let in for medical reasons. Yeah. So you know, it's the enthusiasm. And I think what we've really done here is deals. We've worked on deals. There's a peace deal. There's a trade deal. There's a tax deal. And the first 100 days has set the table. And I think the next 100 days, we're going to see the fruition of all those.
If you go to DonaldJTrump.com right now, it is still up there. You will see Trump's 20 core promises to make America great again from the 2024 campaign trail. Number one on the list, seal the border and stop the migrant invasion. He came up aces. Lowest border numbers ever recorded. Number two on the list, carry out the largest deportation operation in American history. Here's the latest facts from Bill Malusion of Fox News as of yesterday at 12:15 p.m. Quote, ICE announces that they have deported 65,682 illegal aliens in the Trump administration's first 100 days, and they've arrested 66,463 illegal aliens, 75 of which have criminal charges or convictions. That includes 498 for murder, 1,329 for sex offenses, and 2,288 gang members. Trump, for me, gets an A on illegal immigration and deportations. Number three on the list was end inflation and make America affordable again. Now, this is a multifaceted approach consisting of DOGE and their discoveries on waste, fraud, and abuse, energy independence, and trimming the deficit by utilizing things such as tariffs to also lead us to a point in time where, allegedly, federal income tax and taxes on other things such as Social Security and tips are no more. So far, one of those three have come up looking brilliant, delivering on what Barack Obama only talked about doing 13 years ago, and that would be Elon Musk and his team at Doge. According to the Department of Government Efficiency, they say the following. It has, quote, at least cut $160 billion in waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government, which includes USAID and their $40 billion budget. DEI contracts have been slashed across the board, and downsizing of the federal workforce has been executed, end quote. But now the question that needs to be answered definitively is, where do the savings go? Will Americans get tax breaks? Do we get stimulus checks? And would stimulus checks be a bad idea? Will they be inflationary in nature and a negative on the bottom line? Will it go towards paying off the $36 trillion of debt? That remains TBD. Elsewhere on the economic front, we look at inflation and the economy. Inflation in February, Trump's first full month, saw a 0.2% increase, followed by a 0.1% decrease in March, with inflation sitting at 2.4% compared to a year ago. You factor in the tariffs, and things could get better in time long term, but there still might be some short-term pain. So far, I would say the economy under Trump in just about 2.5-3 months is basically flat, although private sector job growth has been very encouraging in the early months. Egg prices now down about 40%, but meat, poultry, and fish have jumped by 1%. But good news on the energy front, specifically filling up your vehicle. The cost of gas is down 7.6% in Trump's first 3 months. Housing, still a sticky issue. Rent is up about 0.6%. Automobiles, as of right now, pre-tariffs, flat. So it's been a mixed bag. Again, this takes time, much longer than sealing a border and deporting illegals. So I'll give Trump right now, and you can get mad at me, I'll give him a C on the economy. But trending in the right direction, especially with energy only going to get cheaper and some nations eventually bending the knee to tariffs. So if you're tracking at home, I've given him an A on immigration, a C on the economy. That averages out to a B overall. But now here comes the boost. Maha and Bobby. News coming down yesterday as RFK Jr. scored his biggest win to date. America's largest food company, PepsiCo, has announced that it has already started phasing out artificial ingredients in line with Bobby's drive to ban them in our foods and beverages. Cheetos, Lay's, Tostitos, Doritos, all on board. And artificial food coloring will be gone by the end of the year. This following his move to ban seed oils and replace fryers with beef tallow. So how is the Trump administration doing with the American public? Well, it's a complete mixed bag. Get a look at this. Voters in an NPR PBS Marist poll that polled Republicans and Democrats, wild differences Trump's first 100 days. 89% of Democrats give Trump a D or an F. Conversely, 83% of Republicans give Trump an A or a B. So what about the independents? 35% of independents give Trump an A or a B, and 55% give him a C, D, or F. How is Trump dealing with the impatient people that are out there that want everything right away when it comes to the economy and tariffs? Well, Scott Jennings had this to say on CNN. Listen and watch.
I mean, there's like 17 to 20 countries that really matter. If you started rolling out agreements with them and you started also to see more private companies saying, we're going to continue to invest in America, we're investing more in America, jobs going here, investments going there, I think that would give people the sense that, hey, there is a method here. There's a plan in all of this. And that begins to then lend itself to the idea that there's a trajectory that we're on, that down the line you can see that it's going to be working. So I think if you see some of this movement, some of these announcements, I think that will help with the economic numbers. I don't really think Trump is the kind of person who gets freaked out by the polls, frankly. I think he's quite confident in what he's doing. I don't sense a lot of panic over at the White House. And I don't really think they think the 100-day mark, which is arbitrary, you know, we talk about it, but it's arbitrary to them, is something that they were looking at as a deadline for any of this to be done.
Now onto my concerns and negatives. Russia, Ukraine is still a thing. It's still ongoing. My prediction on record on the show was that it would be over by the end of the spring. I looked at the calendar. I have about 7 weeks left to be correct. June 20th, fast approaching. Preventing World War III was bullet point number 8 on his agenda. No war yet, but also no peace delivered. And what about the big, beautiful bill? Will we have that before July 4th? I think we're all waiting on that. And then, of course, the smaller things, like releasing the Epstein files. Where are those? Pam Bondi, where are those? You have things like Pete Hegseth, a little bit of negativity there. But in conclusion, I look at it this way. He's nailed it with the border. He's nailed it with Doge. He's nailed it with Make America Healthy Again, protecting women in sports, ending DEI, gutting federal agencies, including the Department of Education. But the economy and inflation is the other big shoe to drop. We still have wars. We still don't have our tax cuts. But then again, it's been 100 days, not 100 months. And there's a few selections to his cabinet and administration that haven't gotten off to the best of starts. As I mentioned, that would include Hegseth and Bondi. But overall, I'm pretty happy. And I'm a tough grader. I'm going to go B+. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take, if you want to jump in, how would you evaluate Trump's first 100 days? 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media, at 1210WPHT, and of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. Dawn Stensland, how would you grade Donald J. Trump's first 100 days?
Well, I would say it has been a whirlwind 100 days. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in our nation, where we have the shutdown, number one, to secure the border, A+. That has been amazing. And I think that we're all grateful for a safer America. And I think that's why it's a popular issue. It's pretty tough. You know, when those reporters, went to the White House and did their stand-ups with all those signs behind them that were lawn signs, much like a realty sign in a front yard, showing the mug shots and murder and rape charges against all of those different illegals.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was significant to say, no, we don't want, you know, dangerous rapists and murderers walking into this country so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think first and foremost, the fact that he has secured this border, that's incredible to me.
It really is. I mean, that was one of the two biggest issues, and he sealed that bad boy up in a quarter of a year, where for 4 years it was just wide open. It was the running of the bulls, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah.
10, 12, 15 million, whatever the true number is. But, you know, when I look at some of these approval ratings and these polls that are out there where Trump's underwater with the economy, I just ask all these people, and it's interesting because the polls show that people are down on the economy with Trump. Yet when you talk to specific individuals in focus groups, whether it's on mainstream media or Fox News, whether it's Frank Luntz and his toupee on social media, you get a lot of these people that say, no, we're not jumping ship on the tariffs. You know, he told us up front it might suck for a little bit. But I mean, he's been, I'm paraphrasing here, Trump has talked about how other nations and big government have bled America dry to the point where this drastic reboot is needed. And I don't know, do people really think that gas would be $2.29 a gallon in 6 weeks? Do people really think that that ribeye that's 21% more than it used to be would be exactly what it is in 2019 by St. Patty's Day?
Yeah.
Like, that stuff doesn't just happen overnight, which is why I'd like to see really, I think you can make a true definitive statement, and if you disagree, let me know, by Labor Day. I feel like when people start to get ready to go back to school, you have back to school expenses, the holidays start to come around, people start shopping for things, for big gatherings, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. I think that is a big one. Now, the gas, to me, I always look at gas, what is it on Memorial Day? What is it on the 4th of July? What is it on Labor Day? But we're not there yet, right? We're still, this is technically the last day of April. So I'm willing to give time on the economy. I mean, inflation up 0.2 of a point, then down a point. Gas is down about 8%. Although I will say this, I saw a little fluctuation in gas about 6 weeks ago where I noticed the one place that I go that's not named Wawa. It's like a independently owned place. It was down to $2.99 for a couple of days, but now it's back up to like $3.07. My Wawa is like $3.13.
I paid $2.99 yesterday.
Did you really?
At the gas station.
There's something comforting about $2.99, isn't there?
It was like $2.99. So you're right. Most other places, that was the cheapest I could find, but it's the one on Ridge in Roxborough.
Okay.
$2.99. Okay. I was like, and that was, who was it? Stephen Miller, who said energy is not just a sector. It you have to look at energy as the baseline.
Right.
So as far as drill, baby, drill, deregulation, they've done a lot so far for the deregulation so that we can become energy independent, and that is everything.
And a big gauge will be that first month when everybody has their air conditionings humming and that energy bill comes
in. Or like last night.
Well, I mean, New Jersey is set to June 1st or something, right? Their energy bills are set to rise by 20%. Is that what I heard?
20%?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that's New Jersey?
New Jersey.
Yep.
But in Pennsylvania, we pay, on average, 42% more on our energy bills than the rest of the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll come back, wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. How has the mainstream media covered Trump's first 100 days? And then what happened to the fact checkers? Who sang that song, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? I want to know where all the fact checkers have gone. We've got an interesting story from Axios about the fading of the fact-checking industry, and we'll hit that on the other side. It's Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
So you brought up in the first, when you were going through your points, which, by the way, I thought was very well thought out, so good job with the big take.
Thank you.
You mentioned some of his cabinet picks, and you mentioned Pete Hegseth.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Terry Moran asked Trump about Hegseth, and it was pretty contentious. Roll this.
About Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. There's a lot of turmoil at the Pentagon right now. There's the signal chat with his wife on it where he's discussing that attack in Yemen. There's another signal chat discussing the attack on Yemen. There's a reporter accidentally involved. You said the other day that you had a talk with the secretary. Did you take him to the woodshed?
I had a talk with him, and whatever I said, I probably wouldn't be inclined to tell you. But we had a good talk. He's a talented guy. He's young, he's smart, highly educated. And I think he's going to be a very good defense, hopefully a great defense secretary, but he'll be a very good defense secretary.
You have 100% confidence in Pete Hegseth?
I don't have 100% confidence in anything. Okay, anything. Do I have 100%? It's a stupid question. Look,
it's a pretty important position.
No. You don't have 100%. Only a liar would say I have 100% confidence. I don't have 100% confidence that we're going to finish this interview.
We will.
Let's go.
Let's go. Hurry up. What's your next dumb question?
It's such a loaded question. Because
turmoil and woodshed.
Well, no, it's like asking me, do you have 100% confidence in this radio station? Yes, I do. But like, no, I don't have 100% confidence that I'm going to wake up tomorrow.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody does.
There's no certainties in life.
He's asking him to give Trump a blanket exoneration.
I know.
For Pete Hegseth.
Did you take him out to the woodshed?
So then they can clip that, and you know, if the next scandal that happens, they can say, "Well, Trump has 100% confidence in this guy. This is the guy."
Dawn, it's an emoji.
Dawn, can you take us through at the network level what that prep is like for Terry Moran with a question like that? I'm just going to guess before you correct me or give me the precise answer that Terry Moran did not write that question specifically himself at his kitchen table on a yellow legal pad like I do the Big Take, right? That comes from somewhere else?
I will say, generally speaking, they put everything is written out that they generally will discuss. Now, did he in a conversational way ad lib the, are you going to take him to the woodshed? But I actually think.
But that's a group of people that gather, all his producers, right? Like, this isn't just him sitting alone saying, question number one will be this. And he starts to jot it down.
Usually there's a group talk, but at the end of the day, they put everything on like index cards.
Yeah.
And usually those are all written out. So I think that he actually was, you know, practicing in the mirror type thing. Would you take that to the woodshed?
I'm good enough.
You know?
I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
Trump golfs all the time. He's probably not even going to say he's 100% confident in his 9-iron from 113 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I like the call out BS on both sides. And I can't take these freaking gotcha questions that they're trying to. And by the way, Trump handled it perfectly.
He did.
He handled it absolutely. And by the way, no other politician would have handled it like
true.
That.
True.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Yep.
None. So like, yeah, like, no, I don't have 100% confidence in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think he's going to do a good job. I want him to do a good job. But am I 100% confident? No.
Yep. And speaking of ABC, I'll give you these numbers. So what was the media coverage like for the first 100 days? Well, it wasn't 100% negative, but it was 92% negative from ABC, NBC, and CBS. I've got the numbers here from MRC Media Research Center. Evening newscasts on ABC's News World News Tonight, NBC's Nightly News, and CBS's Evening News from January 20th through April 29th. 92% negative coverage of the 899 stories that were discussed about President Trump or his administration. The media watchdog group found that 92.2% of the coverage was negative, compared to only 7.8% positive. Meanwhile, 8 years ago, in his first 100 days, it was 89% negative. So they've actually gotten more negative, which is hard to believe, but they're up 3%. Now, how do you compare that to the Biden administration and their first 100 days? Again, remember, Trump, 92% negative. Joe Biden, 59% positive. Positive. So that is a 52% swing in the other direction of Joe Biden, the way he's covered, versus Donald Trump. That is staggering to me. And by the way, as far as the topics of the 899 minutes, 361 minutes were spent on tariffs, 301 minutes were spent on Doge, and 233 minutes were spent on illegal immigration. There's your numbers from the now damn near dead mainstream media.
By the way, Dawn, how do you think little George Stephanopoulos thinks about all of his brethren in the news anchor world on ABC are just like steamrolling over him between Muir, He, you know, he hosted one of the debates. Now
Moran
gets this first 100 days interview, which is going to be played a billion times today.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think little George feels?
Well, you know, there are all these rumors that he was fired.
That's why
the rumors
asked.
Are swirling.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of tension apparently at ABC, if you believe Page Six, which of course I do, between Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa. Did you guys see that? Like all kinds of happenings happening at ABC. What they need to do is really blow up that network.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
They won't, though, because they're still, like, that World News Tonight still gets really good ratings.
ABC is the best of the bunch, right?
Out of that 6:30,
yeah.
You know, evening news thing that I don't, apparently a lot of people still watch it.
I can't imagine what that's
like. You know
what I
mean? Yeah.
Here in Philadelphia, ABC is the legacy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I was just going to ask you, how much of that is the local 6 ABC, 6 p.m. where people just still have the TVs on by default?
It's a good question.
Because it's a good lead-in, right?
But it's not just Philadelphia that ABC does well in. You know what I mean? So unless ABC around the country does amazing 6 p.m. local news numbers.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Right. The iconic jingle.
Now, reportedly, by the way, George Stephanopoulos, remember, and I think we visited this late last year in December. Supposedly, he did sign a new contract, and they put that out there to put the rumors to bed. But I will say that contract, it's a multi-year deal, could have many outs in it.
Yep.
So I think they put that word out, oh, no, he signed a new contract. He can't be happy, and he definitely is being downplayed. As far as, by the way, looks like the Paramount board, New York Times headline, that they have set the stage and kind of cleared things. Looks like that 60 Minutes settlement with Trump is...
They're going to settle with him.
They're going to settle.
Mm-hmm.
Big payout.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, can we just call it time of death network news? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing now with this?
Same thing with the fact checkers. Do I have time to give these numbers or should I save them?
Save them for the other side.
All right. What happened to the fact checking industry, the institutional trust that was? Well, it's no more. We'll give you the details as to how bad it's gotten for those like Brian Stelter out there that used to try to dunk on people with all of the specific nuances. We'll give you those details when we come back. Dawn's got some news. Bruno less than an hour away. Cut sheet fast approaching. It's a Wednesday morning on Kale & Company. Back after this.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.